Thank you, Lord. Well, God is so good. And there are so many things that we can't explain. And you know what? I don't even want to try to explain them. Because anything that I would say word-wise with that of man's words would be nothing. When we go through situations, we know, we all know what hurt is. We know what sadness is. We know what pain is and suffering. And we don't like that. We always want to be in the joy of the Lord. But we go through life and those things will happen. But I pray that we can get back to that level of that of God, to experience His peace, comfort, strength, and yes, joy. But anyway, so the last few weeks now, we've been kind of going into the areas of the disciples, and it's nothing really a deep depth of study of them. You can do that, and you can get books and study and all those guys. But I just sensed it for this year, kind of getting going into Easter, because we start reading and hearing a lot about the disciples and going in the final entrance into Jerusalem and the Last Supper, and the disciples are gathered around, and then they go into the Jerusalem, and then they all scatter when He gets arrested and all these things. But I've been wanting to take this a little bit at a time and just kind of look at our disciples, because today we are the disciples. Today we would be doing the same thing possibly. How would we react to those things that they did? I think the things we've learned is the first several, they were fishermen, fisher of a fish. And then Jesus said to them, become fishers of men. And then we get into, oh, that's great. We learned the career of Simon Peter. And then, you know, we talked a little bit there of Simon to Andrew to James. Got into John, fisherman. Okay, then we go into Philip, fisherman. And we get now to Nathaniel or Bartholomew. I think that's where I left off, because I think we got to the point of, we don't know what he did. Sometimes, do you ever wonder what you're doing? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing for that? What has God called me from? And it just kind of paints the broad brush of Jesus calls a lot of varieties of things of people in different career paths and things of that nature. He just called disciples to follow Him. And He's calling you today to follow Him. And we look at some of these guys, and it was interesting to note some of their qualities, their characteristics, major events in their life. And we're going to pick up with Nathaniel, or some scholars say Bartholomew, but Nathaniel, occupations unknown. But one of the characteristics that he exemplified states that he was honest and he was straightforward. We'll find that out just a little bit in some scriptures here. Why is that? Well, the major event in the life was this. He initially rejected Jesus because Jesus was from Nazareth, but acknowledged Him as the Son of God and the King of Israel when they met. And the reason why he said that, well, it's like, can anything good come out of there? That's why he had that doubt. It's like, really? I really don't know that. And it's not, now, this is not the doubt of doubting Thomas. This is just, he looked for honesty and straightforwardness. So he initially rejected Jesus. How many here initially rejected Jesus? Today, we have many people that still reject Jesus. Even when some are going through some horrific things, we try to bring some things of that of God to them, and they may not want to even hold on to it. They still want to not, don't, anybody ever says, somebody say, don't talk to me anymore about that. It's like, okay. I just thought I'd try to give you some hope and some encouragement, you know, but here it is. But anyway, he initially rejected Jesus because Jesus was from Nazareth, but then later on, he acknowledged Him. And that's where I think we can believe that others later on, we can pray that they will acknowledge Him. And once they acknowledge Him as us today, we would say, my Jesus, He is that of the Son of God. And He's the King of Israel. Now, what did Jesus say about Him? Well, he called him a true son of Israel, and he called him an honest man. A lesson that we learn from this life is that Jesus respects honesty in people, even if they challenge him because of it. Remember, he challenged, like, are you really? I don't really, because he was that of honesty and straightforwardness. Evidently, Nathanael didn't beat around the bush. He just called it as it was. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I don't think that's the way it is, until you have that awakening, until you have that time with Jesus. Now, we can look at when he was called, Mark 3:18. This is when the 12 are all come together. The 12 apostles in Mark 3:13, and he went up on the mountain. He called to him those he himself wanted. Those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Power, this power word, one of four power words, dunamis, and all these words that we attach to it, means the authority or the right to act, to have the ability, to have the privilege, to have the capacity to delegated authority. When we come to Christ, when Jesus comes into our life, and we are emboldened to go out and to minister the good news, when he says to go forth and preach and to heal and to pray, we go out not under my authority or even Harvester's Church's authority. We go out under the authority of that of God through that of the Holy Spirit, but the power that is in us. And that's the thing, I try to get into people like that of the disciples. I'm going to tell you today, you have power within you. Are you using it? Are you using that power, that ability, that privilege that he has given us, the capacity that he's given you? He has given us all the delegated authority. Jesus has this power to forgive sin, heal sicknesses, and cast out the devils. This right to use this dunamis might, Jesus gave to his followers as well, to preach, to teach, to heal, and to deliver. And that authority has never been rescinded. Guess what? He didn't take it back. It is still for today. Hallelujah. We are an army of God that goes out with power, that we have the authority to go out and to do the things that God has put upon you specifically to do in your neighborhood, in your family. It may not be working well in your family. Even Jesus couldn't do a whole lot in his hometown. But you do have that authority within you to where he's going to send you, and he's going to have you preach, teach, heal, or deliver. And he's not taking it back. Powerless ministries become powerful upon discovering this power that's resident in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. The power. Now we're going to come into Pentecost after this. The power they had at Pentecost. Amen. The power comes with that of the Holy Spirit. There is power in the blood. Wonderful working of power in the blood. Amen. Everything with connections to that of God is nothing but connected to P-O-W-E-R. Power! The power of the blood of Jesus to do what? To forgive your sins. Nothing else like it. Nothing else can cleanse you from your sins like that of the blood of Jesus. Amen? And you got to believe that. You got to go forth knowing when you have asked for forgiveness and you've said, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. You've got to know in your spirit and in your heart, it is done. What he has done, it is done. Don't question him. Don't doubt it. Don't let the enemy and the devil to say, your sin was so bad it wasn't forgiven. What you've done, you've been in for so long, it'll never come clean. No. The blood of Jesus is power. The Holy Spirit brings the power into us to be able to even go forth and to do the miraculous things that Jesus is wanting us to fulfill. But anyway, get back to that. So, and had the power to heal the sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name of Bonjeris, and the sons of thunder. You know, we talked about that the last week. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James. It goes through. Now we've got the list of all these disciples and even to the end of 19, and Judas of Iscariot, who also betrayed him, they went into the house. So there's all the names of these disciples that we're talking about now. But then I get into John 1. John 1, 45. John 1, 45. Philip and Nathanael. The following day, I'm going to start in John 1, 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael says to him, what? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Remember, we talked about he initially rejected Jesus because he was from Nazareth. So it's saying, well, can anything good come out of that? Nathanael was not insulting Nazareth. Rather, he knows that Nazareth seems to be so obscure, and further, it is not the prophesied birthplace of the Messiah, so he voices his difficulty in accepting Philip's assertion. Jesus saw Nathanael come toward him, and he says to him, what? "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael says to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Matthew answered and said, what? And said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He was honest. He was straightforward. He at first rejected that of Jesus, but when he met him and came to terms and talking to him, he said it changed his whole attitude about the thing. "Surely you are that." Now we find in John quickly, this is just kind of running through the history and the directions of these disciples. John 21, it's going to take us to the sea. The breakfast by the sea. He returns to fishing with the other disciples. So here we're going to find. We have found he called the disciples from their careers. He walked and they walked with him. He was crucified, resurrected. Well, he was in the tomb. And then he was resurrected, and now he is ascended, and now the disciples and all, they're going back to what they knew what to do. They didn't quite get it as far as, what are we to do now? They went back to their old career. How many times when we received Christ, we were with him for a while, and then when we feel like things aren't going or we don't sense him a whole lot, we might go back to what we used to do. But we are here to continue on with that path. But here it is. He returns to fishing with the other disciples in John 21, 1 through 13. You can read it. But it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And then the way he showed himself, and it calls all of these disciples, they said to him, Simon says to him, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus says to them, "Hey, children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." In verse 5, he tells them where to cast their net, and it goes from there. But here again, this is where they have that meeting again. So we may be sidelined in our life with other things. Things will kind of get in our way with following that of Christ. But he's always there, and it's important that we at least return back to him. How many here have had a hiccup in your life, and we were following him, and then we weren't? And then sometimes we're following him, and then we're not. Just don't give up. Amen? Just when you stop following him, let the Spirit, and we've had some wonderful testimonies just recently of some family members that they felt that continued tug. There's something that the Spirit just continues to be around them, and there's a draw to that person and persons. And they will eventually come sometimes say, "I just need to get closer. I need to get back to him. I know there's just something pulling. There's something tugging at my heart." And see, that's when they've had that experience maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 15, I don't know. But I know when they've had that experience, there's a good chance somewhere down the line that Spirit will begin to woo them again. And maybe they've come through life and they've tried to do things on their own and they found out that I'm not succeeding, I'm struggling. I'm succeeding, but I'm still not being fulfilled. I'm missing something in my life. No matter how successful you are, if you don't have Christ in your life, you are empty in somewhere. And they just don't understand it until they come back to that realization that I'm missing something. And that's that relationship with Jesus. And Jesus comes back and he says, I've been waiting for you. Wasn't he waiting for you? How patient and loving he is. And so we're hearing some great testimonies, and even in families in our church, and don't give up, amen, don't give up. Just hold them in prayer. As someone said this morning, just roll them on over to God. Just keep rolling it to them, him or them to him. And just do what you're to do. Love, love, love. Then we get into the next one we find is that of Matthew, the Levite. Now we find out that he's the tax collector. Wow, he's a good guy. Not. One of his outstanding characteristics, gee, guess what? He was despised and he was an outcast because of his dishonest career. Tax collectors were ranked right up there with murderers and robbers. What an occupation. Jesus, can we talk about getting this guy in our group? I don't know. I just don't know. I think we're going to lose a lot of credibility when we allow this Levi to come in. You know, Matthew, come on. He's a scoundrel. I mean, at least we were fishermen. Yeah, I know, fishermen tell tales. Well, they're kind of like liars. I caught a fish this big. Whatever. But he was a tax collector. He was despised. He was an outcast. Jesus is calling the outcast of today. He's out in the highways and the byways. People in the taverns, people on the sides of the road, people in jobs, people that are lost, people that are in despicable things. Jesus is calling. You can come from an unknown career. You can come from a career of fishing. You can come from a dastardly career. You could be hated. You could whatever. But he's calling. Amen. The major events in his life, he abandoned his corrupt and financial, but it was financially profitable for him. You know, he skimmed some things. He wasn't dumb. He abandoned his corrupt and financial profitable way of life to follow that of Jesus. Then he invited Jesus to parties with his notorious friends. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Could you imagine? And that's what got Jesus into trouble with some others, is because it's like they found him sitting at the table with these thieves and these people that were not of good characters. And it's like, how can you do that? Well, that's because Jesus goes to where the sinner is at. Didn't he say that, you know, I come, those that are healthy and well, they don't need a hospital or a doctor. But I'm going to those that are ill, those that are bad and sickness or whatever. I'm going to those that need me. And we all need him. We find out what Jesus said. He called him to be that of a disciple. A lesson from this life is Christianity is not for people who think they're already good. How many people think like, well, I got to get better before I come to Christ. I got to get rid of this sin that I've got before I get closer to Christ. And that'll just hold them right where the devil wants them to stay, right in that sin. Because they'll never come out of it on their own. And they'll go through decades of their life trying to get themselves cleaned up, or trying to do things to get them close to, by works, I'm going to get closer to him. By works, I'm going to get my way into heaven. And it ain't going to work. But we find in these disciples, if we just look at them, they're showing a mirror of life of today and the things that we all are all a part of, or that we have come out of, or where the hopes that we can have. It's like what he has done for those, he will do for others. Amen. He's no respecter of person or place or whatever. He is there for all of us, for those that cry out, for those that have that desire to at least say, okay, you're calling me, Lord, here I am. I've tried it for the last 25 or 50 years on my own. I've had it. If you are really God, I need you to come into my life and help me out. And doesn't God do that? Aren't there testimonies out there where people finally said, I've had it all up to here. I can't do it any longer. I surrender it to you, God. And if there is a God, or they may say, God, if you're really God and you care for me, would you have somebody just say something to me today that would affirm that? And that's who you, that's us, that's you, that we come into that part of that puzzle that God sends, and all of a sudden we're across the path of this person. We may know them, we may not know them. I don't know. But God's got it figured out. Amen. God has got a plan, and he's going to work his plan. God has got it all figured out. All I want to be is just, I want to be used by him and trust him and hear from him and follow him. I don't know how he's going to do it. But anyway, so he speaks to one of us, you, me, or whatever, and we're across the path of this person, and we might just simply say something like, I sense that I just need to let you know that God says to let me tell you that he loves you today. Or that prayer that you prayed yesterday, God heard it. That hits that person because that guy or that gal says, God, if you're God, I need to hear something from you to affirm that you're hearing what I'm saying. And do you not know when that happens and those pieces of things line up that you did as much sharing the gospel with that phrase than you could have sharing the entire New Testament with that person? Because they had a one-on-one with God. Even though they weren't believing God, they weren't a child of God yet. They were still in their miserable ways, but they heard that from God, and God says, I heard your prayer, and I love you. And then they turn their life over to him. And then a new name is written down in glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But the Christianity is not for those that are good. It's for the people who know they have failed and that they need help. Every one of you in this room failed. And you needed help. And guess what? You found it when you reached out for Christ. Amen? And you ask him into your life. You've repented of your sins. And you said, I can't go it alone anymore. I need you. There must be something to this. Or I've heard this. I've seen this. I've been aware of this. There must be something to it, Lord. Here I am. Begin your work in me. You have just set yourself on a path of lookout. Here you go. Get ready. Fasten the seatbelt. Now, Matthew 9. Here again, this is just, let's find out when this notorious, dastardly person, how dare him call him? Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he says to him, the simplest two words that Jesus always says, follow me, follow me. And so he arose and he followed him. And now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many, many of those guys, tax collectors and sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with these tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he says this, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Talks about in this, in having a fellowship with publicly acknowledged sinners, Jesus defined accepted social custom. He defied accepted social customs, thus demonstrating his authority over man-made customs that disregarded the laws of God. No righteous person would dare be seen with the sinner. Problem is, a lot of those that were righteous people, they had enough of their own problems within themselves of hypocritical things. But he defied that. And that's those things of today. And I'm not saying, hey, let's all go to the tavern tonight and sit at the bar stool and try to get everybody saved. No, don't do that. But there'll be times when you're with people or in a group or whatever the case might be, and you might be hanging out. It might be what Jesus has asked you to do. But, you know, beware that you're following that or what God wants you to do. But sometimes, you know, we need to be out there where the sinners are at and not always spend all of our time in church. I mean, we can spend a lot of time in here, but we're just, hopefully, aren't we preaching to the choir? I don't hear any amens, so am I with sinners or no? Amen, everybody! So, yeah, it's the way we want to come to the church and recharge and hear and fellowship and pray and encourage and all, but we need to go out there where he said to go and to share and to pray and to heal and to share this message with those out there that really need to hear it. And that's what that was. Mark talks about in Mark 2:15, the party with the Levi's friends. You know, there's the party there. Luke 5:27 to 32, the scripture here is speaking to the party with scrupulous friends. And so I'm not saying now I don't want you to be saved and go back into your, some of these weird things and what you came out of, unless God has told you to do that. But just be aware that, you know, there could be some of those like, well, I saw that guy talking to those guys, and those guys were in a tavern last night. What's he doing talking to them? Or whatever the case is. We're just to go out there and to be about what the Lord has wanted us to do. And you're doing it on the mission that he's given you. Amen. He had a reason why he called Matthew. He knew that he would be able to get into the crowd to where Matthew was at, and Matthew would invite his past friends to come, and they would hear and learn and see, and then they too would be able to receive that of what Matthew or Levi had received. How many of us have some scrupulous friends? Hopefully they're less and you got better. Your friends now are on this side of, you know, the scrupulous to the saved and the God-fearing. We have God-fearing friends. And then we get into Thomas. Thomas is, you know, the twin. Unknown occupation, don't know anything about him, but he has the characteristics of courage and doubt. Courage, yes, but doubt as well. Doubting Thomas. Major events suggest that the disciples go with Jesus to Bethany. Even if it meant death, he asked Jesus about where he was going. Refused to believe Jesus was risen until he could see Jesus alive and physically do what? Touch the flesh. Feel the imprint of the nails. He suggested the disciples go to Jesus with Bethany. We'll probably find that in some scriptures here. What did Jesus say about him? He said, well, Thomas believed because he actually saw Jesus after the resurrection. A lesson in this life, even when Christians experience serious doubts, Jesus reaches out to them to restore their faith. How many here have had a doubt at one time or another about some things of that of what Christ has said or to ask you to do or things of that of God? You're no different than Thomas. It's okay. Because it shows us the love and the compassion of that, of Jesus, amen, that you can have those doubts and you can have those questions, but be willing to listen, be willing to hear. And if it requires, maybe you need to have some response like he did of touching the nail prints and, you know, all these things. We're not going to be able to do that because this was back then. We're totally removed from that now because Jesus has ascended and he's at the right hand of God the Father. And we find that, though in even our life of today, we have doubts. Oh, I doubt if God's going to get me out of this. I doubt if God's going to provide what I need for this situation. You know, and we begin to speak our doubts. And we had a message on it a long time back, and that was thankfully Jesse Duplantis. I loved him, about you got to begin to doubt your doubt. And I said that way back with, and I think Jesse Duplantis says this, we got to learn to doubt your doubt and walk in the areas of faith, because once you begin to doubt, it'll just overcome and you'll just start doubting everything under the sun. You'll doubt anything and everything because you begin to get into that doubt, unbelief. Oh, and I think we talked about that. Oh, and where he said that father talked about his son, where he says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. We walk in that sometimes. We just have an unbelief sometimes when we're going through things in life. And that's human. That's us. That's things that we see and don't see and we question sometimes. And I don't think that gets God upset when you have that unbelief or that doubt at a little bit of time. But begin to pray and say, Lord, take this doubt from me. And then pretty soon I do believe that God will give you such a focus and such an attention of saying, you will say, oh, well, I do believe. I do believe, Lord, that you are capable. We have people going through, again, in this congregation, medical and health issues and financial situations and relational things. We look at it in the natural as what? Monumental. We don't understand how it's all going to work out. And then there's sometimes I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. How many here have you prayed and prayed and prayed for the same thing? Same thing, same thing. The people, they're still, Lord, I just keep praying. Lord, I believe, Lord. Oh, Lord. And if nothing else, we got to get to that point, Lord. Until it comes about, Lord, give me the faith, give me the strength to continue to believe this because I'm getting weak. And he says, where I am weak, he becomes stronger. Let's admit that we're weak. Don't be macho. Macho Randy Savage, WWF. Any of you guys that used to watch wrestling? Ooh, yeah! Ooh! Remember? I think that was Macho. Ooh! Not that I watched that. No. All right. But, you know, admit you're weak. Admit it. Lord, my faith is wavering right now. And I don't want it to waver. And I know the enemy likes to hear me say that. What? Oh, it's wavering. Oh, Tim, I'm going to get you now. I'm going to get you now. The devil's not going to get me. Even though I might mention that, you know, and say, oh, my faith is wavering, because I'm going to the source. Amen. I'm going to the source, to where I know my strength can come from. My strength can come from God on high to re-strengthen this weak vessel that I am. How many here are weak? You are weak, guys. And when we go through something for so long, or we hear things for so many days or so many things, we just wear down. Natural. But we've got to get in His Word. We've got to get into prayer. We've got to meditate, and we got to go, Lord, I need Your strength in me again and again and again, to where I think we sometimes get to the point of, oh, I got such faith, I don't need to ask for that no more. What are they going to think if they hear me crying out for more? Oh, if I say I got doubt, oh, what are they going to think of me as a pastor? I'm going to tell you, look at me. I'm mere human. I'm flesh. I got a mind, I see things, I wonder, I doubt at times, but then my doubt has to come back into that of belief of who I serve. I serve a risen Savior. Not only is He in the world, but He's in me today by that of the Spirit. And I've got to build an encouragement level up in me like you need to do, and you can't be at church every day, can you? You've got to be wherever you're at in the time of what you're at. You've got to get before you and your master and say, I need you more now, Lord. More than ever before, I need you, Lord. More than I can, whatever that song is, but I need you more. And He's there to give you more of Him to get you through your situation, because He says, you're my child, you're my daughter, you're my son, and I'm going to see you through it. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. And when all else fails, hold on. God's Word tells us these things. His Word says it's not going to be easy as a follower of mine. As a disciple, look at these disciples. What a mixed bag of people they were. I look out here, you guys are a mixed bag, and I'm one of the mixed ones. I'm the mixiest one. Is that a word, mixiest? Well, Wikipedia, I'm going to put it in Wikipedia, and it'll be online, and everything online is believable. But we all go through these things. I'm saying this. That's why I want to go through these disciples. We think they're like, hey, they're the disciples. I'm a disciple. You're a disciple. They're followers. I'm a follower. I have things that I do and crazy things, and I look and I'm serving and I'm walking with that of Jesus by that of the Spirit. But there's things that I see and I go, oh, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. I do believe. I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You rose from the dead. I believe You're at the right hand of God the Father. I believe I've got the Holy Spirit in me. But help my unbelief at this instant and give me more power of understanding and strength and believability that I know, that I know, that I know You are God. And that You've not left me, and that You have heard my prayers, and that You are there, and the answer is here. The answer is coming. The answer is whatever. It's coming. Woo, Jesus. I pray that you have more prayers answered than we have chicken places in Janesville after the next 6 months. We got a lot of chicken coming. This town must be ripe for pastors, because that's how they used to pay pastors, was by chickens. So this, we're going to have an influx of pastors, man. I don't know, man. Pastor. Chicken. We got the eggs coming. Thank you, sister. Enjoy your eggs throughout the week. Brother, I tell you, I crack an egg and I go, thank you, Ina. Thank you, Bridget. I know you didn't have nothing to do with that. I should be thanking the chickens. Corey. But, hey, look at what Jesus is doing. I think it's so fun. I love to just get in the presence of Jesus. And I just begin, and I sit, and I look, and I think, and I come in on a morning, and I look at the empty egg cartons on that table sometimes, and I go, oh, Lord, this is awesome. Awesome. A church of eggs. And not one has been thrown at me yet. Hallelujah. But in that egg, I remember reading one time back when people used to say eggs are bad and all, and I was talking to a guy about this, and we were talking to this and that and the other, and they were saying, but this one person studied all this and it's out there, but the egg, everything in that egg has everything that to develop a life, sustain a life, and create a life in that egg. If you think about it, I don't know if that's right.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, that is.
That whole egg in there has got everything in that component to where I can eat it, or I can be hatched, or be a chick, whatever the case is. I don't understand how that works. I'm not pretending to be that. But I just look at that, and I'm thinking, Lord, that's a message for this church. You guys are a good egg.
Eggheads.
Eggheads. Well, I learned today we had one egghead that was eating worms. But, you know, I just look at things in God. I love God. I love God, how he just moves and does things. And I just encourage you to just talk to him, listen to him, laugh with him. In John 14:5, it talks about, I don't know if we've been there or not, but 14:5. Okay, I think. Oh, it says in 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas steps in verse 5, 14:5, and Thomas says to him, well, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus answered him in 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the scripture. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus. No one comes to the Father because you tithe. No one comes to the Father because you go to a certain religion or church or whatever you do. But what your good works, whatever the case might be. No one comes to the Father through any of all of those things. They come through Jesus because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one is going to come to the Father unless you go through me. How do we go through him? Receive him. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. And that's where we find that he's saying, like, well, we don't know where you're going. How about John 20? John 20, this is that thing that we've talked about, is that of doubting Thomas. John 20, 24. In John 20, 24, it says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. How many here are doubting at times? We do doubt. And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And then he says to Thomas, hey, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but do what? Believing. Thomas answered and says to him, my Lord, oh, my Lord, my God. And he says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. I love this, though. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed. What Jesus said about him, really nothing definitive that they listed in this book of what the aspects or what Jesus maybe had commented about him. Key lessons from his life, nothing really stood out. But he was called. And I think that kind of looks at us sometimes. You know, we think like, oh, if I'm going to be called in serving God, it's going to be something miraculous. Oh, wow. It's going to be miraculous. It's got to be something that stands out. But you know what? It may not. And if not, that's okay. Just know that you were called and that you were doing what he's asked you to do. And when you do that, he'll say, well done. good and faithful servant. We don't get him and we don't become his disciples to make a name for ourselves or to stand out with what we have done through that of Jesus, or that we had raised the dead, or that we had been able to pray, or that we were able to heal, or any of that, because we didn't do any of it anyway. It was that of the Spirit of God working through us that did all of that. He was just looking for that vessel, right? And well, we are that vessel. So if we can be just a vessel out here on this life of life and just be opened and be obedient and allow him to work through you, but I did what God asked me to do. So today we are being called. You have been called again and again and again. And I'm speaking to, I believe, followers and disciples of that of Christ. And we have got to just continue to do what we have been asked to do and know that of yourself, that as long as you're following him and doing what he's asked, he's pleased. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we love you. And Lord, we pray for your special touch upon our lives today and every day, Lord, as we get into the things of this life and the things that you've wanted us to do, Lord. There's much work to be done for the kingdom. There's many things that we need to say and to share. I know, Lord, that you've not given up, Lord. We are to be about your Father's business, our Father's business, Lord, until he comes back. And so find us doing that. I pray again for this wonderful body of believers here at Harvesters Church. Touch each one of their lives, encourage them, give them strength. Oh, Father, give them joy and peace. Let them know, Lord, how much you love them. Take care of any doubt or apprehension that they might have, like, well, am I doing it right? Am I doing what I should be doing? Just confirm in them by that of the Holy Spirit that they're where you want them to be, doing the thing that you've asked them to do. Just give us that confidence, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.